but I don't believe I'm perfect. So there may be imperfect things that I do even in the future, but my consolation is that Jesus already knows it. My husband already knows everything I'm going to do till the end of my life. And he says, I still chose you. I sometimes ask husbands, would you have chosen the same wife if you knew all the foolish things that she did in your life till today? I hope your answer is yes. Some husbands will say, no, if I had known all that, I'd have chosen somebody else. And I ask wives, would you have chosen the same man if you had seen how hard he was going to be towards you and how dictatorial and all that? Would you still have chosen him? Isn't it wonderful? Now, on earth, we don't have that choice. You marry somebody, you don't know what he's like. They look so nice and sweet and all, but a few years after marriage, they're quite different. Both are different. You don't blame the other person. You're also different. The other person is also different. But Jesus, he knows every single thing right up to the end and says, I know. I still want you. And that's my comfort. That's why none of us should ever feel condemned when we slip up and do something foolish today. Oh Lord, are you going to forsake me now? No, he will not. But you'll miss out on something that he has for you if you hold back. I mean, if your only aim is in life is the selfish, self-centered aim, I want to go to heaven when I die. To tell you honestly, I don't even know whether you're born again. If that is your aim, that's not my aim. I can stand before God today and say, I'm ready to go to hell, Lord Jesus, if you're there. I'm not interested in going to heaven. I'm interested in going to be with Jesus. My passion is to be with him. I mean, if you're in love with somebody, you'd be happy to stay in a hut with that person. If you're not in love and you're only interested in his wealth, you'll be interested in what type of house he can get you. There are women who marry like that. They're not interested in the man. They're interested in what's his job like, how much is his salary, what type of car can he drive, and what type of house can he get me. Possibly some of you married like that. But that's not the way we are to be united to Jesus. So in a true marriage, it's out of fervent love for one another. Where I say, I don't care whether you live in a hut. I don't care if you ride a bicycle all our days and if you never have a car. It's quite okay. I love you for who you are. I don't care if you lose all your money. I don't care if you lose your health. See, that's the type of attitude that we are to have towards Jesus. Lord, I don't want anything from you. You've already done more than enough for me on the cross. And I give myself totally to you. That type of relationship is going to make you is going to give you the most satisfying Christian life. So coming to this question of seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, the right attitude to that is not, you know, even though there's a condition, seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness and all your earthly needs will be added to you. If you are seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness because you want all your earthly needs added to you, again, you'll have a problem. I'm not seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness because I want food and clothing and shelter taken care of me for the rest of my life. No. I don't care if I don't get food, I don't get shelter. I will still seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness because we love him because he first loved us. That's the only reason why we want to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. So motive is important. Though God may give us many things, if that is the reason why we give ourselves to seek his kingdom first, then something is wrong. Our giving ourselves to Christ must only be based on, he loved me, so I love him in return. And I desire nothing from him. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. And then later on, if I get nothing, I don't have a complaint. Do you ever go to God and say, Lord, why didn't you do this for me? I mean, I've been so faithful and you didn't do this for me. Ah, that means you came to the Lord for his wealth. You married your husband not for who he is, but because he could get you something. I hope that's not the way any of us are united to Jesus Christ. Can you honestly say before God today, Lord, from today onwards, if you answer no prayer of mine, never do anything for me, Never heal me or any member of my family of any sickness. Allow me to grind in poverty till the end of my life. I'll still love you and live for you to the end of my days. That is the true disciple of Jesus. And I want to tell you, that is the only person who's going to have a very satisfying Christian life. My Christian life has been extremely happy. When I quit my job 50 years ago to serve the Lord, I never knew what the future was. I'd given away all my money for the Lord's work. But I said, Lord, I don't want money. I don't want a house. I don't want anything. I want to live for you and serve you and show my gratitude for what you did for me on the cross till the end of my life. And I want to live as long as you want me to live. And I'll sacrifice anything, health, money, everything in order to serve you. And if I don't have a place to sleep, I'll go and sleep in the railway station. I actually told the Lord that. I'm not interested. And I don't want anything in return from the Lord. And that's why my life has been extremely happy and extremely satisfying. I say this because I see so many grumpy Christians who got to complain against God, complain against the church, complain against this. I don't have a complaint against a human being in the whole world. I'll tell you honestly, I do not have a complaint. I hope you can live like that. That's how any true Christian should live. If you've got to complain against your wife, you need to be a wholehearted Christian. It'll disappear. If you've got a complaint against your husband, you need to be a wholehearted Christian. It'll disappear. I'll tell you that. If you've got a complaint against a brother or some elder or somebody else, something's fundamentally wrong with you, not with the other person. There may be 10,000 things wrong with the other person, but if you have a complaint, something's wrong with you. So it all depends on having that type of relationship with Jesus Christ, where I love him for nothing that he will give me. I love him because he first loved me. So what does it mean to seek God's kingdom first? When I first read that verse as a young Christian, I thought that meant doing Christian work. Seek God's kingdom. Don't go and do missionary work. Witness to people. Give out tracts. Preach and sacrifice and give money for God's work. But it took me many years to discover that that was not the kingdom of God. That is activity. So turn with me to Romans 14:17, where the kingdom of God is defined by the Holy Spirit. And this is what we are to seek first. And then some of you are looking for a job, some of you are looking for a better house. I'll tell you the way to it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Here it is in Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not having a good house. It's not having money to have a good meal. It's not having money to buy good clothes. And I'll tell you this, if you people are interested in good clothes, you know, there's some women who always want to buy clothes. I don't believe that they're going to be wholehearted Christians. I don't believe in my life that they can be like that. Jesus said, if you have enough clothes to take care of yourself, why do you keep on buying clothes? Go and look into your wardrobe, some of you. You've got so many clothes hanging there and you still want to go buy new ones. I say, are you a Christian? Are you one who believes that all the money God gives you is given by him to be used for your glory? If you have plenty, go and give it to some poor person. Why buy, you already got 100 sets of clothes in your cupboard. Why do you want to buy some more? It's amazing why people can't figure out, why is my Christian life so shallow? Why am I so defeated in so many areas? Because you got a wrong attitude to money. That's it. It's not eating and drinking. It's not fine clothes. It's not a fine house. It's not a question of getting a better car or keeping up with somebody else or all this rubbish. If you're in that rat race, I might as well tell you, forget about being a Christian. Just be a church goer, come on Sundays and sit in the chair and have your lunch and go home. I don't know whether you'll get into heaven at last. I hope you will, but I seriously doubt it. Because that's not the type of person God is populating heaven with. God is populating heaven with wholehearted disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you're a wholehearted disciple of Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you a place in heaven. If you're not, I don't know. So it's not eating and drinking. It's got nothing to do with the things of the world. The kingdom of God is, first of all, righteousness. But it's a particular type of righteousness. Righteousness speaks of being right in every area. of our life, being upright, but it comes from within. In the Old Testament, the righteousness of the law was on the outside. But even there, there was a pretty high standard, you know, like you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't murder, and you shouldn't desire other people's property, and you must honor God and honor your parents and give time to God. In those days it was a Sabbath, but the principle is to give time to God. That was an external righteousness. And also the Lord said that you must care for the widow and the weak and the poor. You know, God, in the Old Testament, He said, I want to see how you deal with strangers and the poor in society. And I'm going to deal with you according to that. And I believe that's true in the New Testament too. You've often heard me say, the way you treat your maidservant at home, listen carefully, the way you treat your maidservant at home will be the way God treats you. Believe it or not, I've seen it. We've had servants in our home, and I've been extremely careful to treat them the way I want God to treat me. And I'll tell you this, God's been exceptionally good to me and to my children, every one of them, because we've treated servants at home properly, right from the beginning. I want to ask you, all of you, judge yourself. How long have you had servants in your home? How have you treated them? Go back to the time you got married, from then till today. And if you have treated any of them badly, repent. Repent. I remember one brother in our church, he treated his servant so badly, and I heard about it. She got sick. And when he invited me to his home for his son's birthday, I said, I'll never come to your home till you have repented of your sin. Go and ask forgiveness from that servant and her parents. Well, he got offended and left the church. Well, fine. He has to answer to God in the final day. I tried to save him from final judgment, but he didn't want it. He just got offended and left the church. Well, he'll have to answer for that in the final day. He's not going to escape. Just because it happened 30 years ago doesn't mean he's going to escape. I want to tell you, if you have treated anybody badly, if you don't want that to come up in the day of judgment, you better settle it now. Find out where that person is and go and apologize and ask forgiveness. Otherwise, I prophesy and I tell you in Jesus' name, it will come up when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everything that's not settled on earth will be settled then.